Hey, Chad, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah.
How about...
No, not again.
Okay, what about...
I just saw that last week.
Okay, oh, I got it.
Wait. You want me to watch what?
So, what did you think of Her Alibi?
This was a beautiful mess that I enjoyed in the moment and probably won't watch again.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So, for those of you just tuning in, if you've never heard us before, we are... welcome. Chad and myself have seen a bunch of movies over the years.
That we have.
Sometimes they cross over.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they don't. A lot of times they don't.
It seems so.
Yeah. And so we challenge each other to watch a movie the other has never seen.
Mm-hmm.
And this week's submission was the 1989 romantic comedy Her Alibi, starring Tom Selleck.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Feeney.
And, yeah, William Daniels, Mr. Feeney.
Fine, if you want to give an actor's name.
I occasionally do. Yeah.
He will always be both the voice of Kit and Mr. Feeney to me.
Yes, this is true.
And John Adams, but that's because I'm a musicals fan, and he was in 1776, film version.
To be fair, I had to click on a couple people to figure out it was William Daniels.
Because mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, it's Mr. Feeney, but what's his real name?
Yeah.
So, Selleck plays Philip Blackwood. He's a mystery writer, a murder mystery writer,
mm-hmm.
but he's going through a bit of a dry spell. The last couple books haven't done spectacular.
Well, I got the impression that he hadn't even written anything in the last several years.
Well, that could be too. And so his publisher is his agent and publisher are really pushing him. Come on, you've got to do something, you know. He hasn't written anything since his ex-wife left him.
Mm-hmm.
For a literary critic.
You got to feel bad for a guy.
Yeah. And so he's, you know, you got to get back on the horse. You got to do something. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
So we see him going to a court, meets up with some locals who always go there, and they seem to know the ins and outs of what's going to happen, and they can kind of predict, oh, he's going to get off on bail, and it's going to be $50,000. And sure enough, that's what the judge says. So he's sitting there, and in walks this beautiful woman named Nina.
Mm-hmm.
And she is being charged with murder. Clearly, she hasn't done anything because of how beautiful she is.
Clearly. That's the way it always works.
Yeah.
That's why they're all innocent in Chicago.
Yep. And so Philip does what any sane thinking person would do.
He dresses up like a priest and gets her out of jail?
Yes.
Ah.
Yeah, he dresses up like a priest to get in to see her under the guise of confession, you know.
Yep.
And he tells her, hey, I'm not really a priest. I can give you an alibi. I know you didn't do this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that's what they do. He and his agent go to the detective and say, we've been having an affair. She was with me last week. And, you know, clearly she didn't do it.
Yep.
Well,
yep.
Apparently the evidence against her was circumstantial at best.
Mm-hmm.
And so, okay, fine. We have two upstanding citizens saying she didn't do it and she was with them. Okay, fine. So they release her. As she's leaving the precinct or the jail or whatever, she's, you know, Philip mm-hmm. stops her and says, hey, you know, you're out. Come on, let's go. It's like, no, I'm leaving, but you have to come with me in order for this to work. No. And she sees across the street a man who she clearly knows holding a gun. And she says, you know what? Yeah, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens next is a series of comedic errors.
Yeah. Yeah. Some misinterpreted things.
Yes. So Phil is trying to convince himself that she is innocent, but he's still kind of scared of her.
Well, he wasn't until the cop comes by and puts the doubt in his head.
Yes. So they had just finished dinner, and a cop comes by, and no, back up.
Mm-hmm.
They just finished dinner, and they're cleaning up, and out of nowhere, she pulls a knife and flings it at him. It goes sailing past his head and impales a beetle on mm-hmm. the kitchen wall. Why'd you do that? I hate bugs. She goes upstairs to bed, and the cop shows up and says, hey, you know, just wanted to put this in your head that as long as you're alive, you have time to recant your alibi, and she goes back to jail. If you die, it's forever.
Mm-hmm.
And from that moment on, he there's always a shred of doubt in everything that happens.
Yep.
He says he's got to leave to get his hair cut. No, I can cut your hair. No, really, really. She finally cuts his hair, and he's like enthralled with this.
He's into it.
He's into it. Later, she's out shooting a bow and arrow, like down the way. Phone rings. He's talking to the detective. An arrow comes sailing through the open window, skewers him right in the butt.
Yep. That was a scene that happened.
Then they got to go to the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Where he tells the story that he did it to himself. He didn't know it was loaded.
Yeah, he shot himself with a bow and arrow in the butt because he didn't know it was loaded. They finally give in to each other's passions and they make love. And while he's standing in the kitchen door watching her swim, the house blows up. He gets blown through the screen door. He's fine. Paramedics show up. They go to stay at his brother's house.
Truly awful people.
Truly awful people, yes. By the way, the brother is played by one of John Wayne's sons.
Okay. He played a wonderfully awful person.
Yes. So, a couple things happen while they're there. One of the nephews ends up at the top of a barn and can't get down. And while they try to rescue him, Nina comes in out of nowhere, riding a horse, scales the rope, goes up, gets him, and then carefully gets him back down to safety.
Mm-hmm.
What did she do in Romania? Receptionist? She hasn't explained anything about her background to Phil.
By this point in the movie, anyone who's watching the movie knows.
Yes.
That between the face paint and the one scene,
oh, yes,
and the knife throwing, if you don't get it from the time that she rides the horse, climbs the rope, and tight ropes the thing, if you don't know that she was a clown.
Or at least in the circus.
I'm afraid you might be too thick.
Yeah. So, dinner comes. And suddenly she says, well, I'm not staying for dinner. There's a Romanian tradition where the youngest woman in the house makes a meal and then leaves. You know, leave an empty seat for me, toast to me, and I'll be back later. Weird, but okay.
Mm-hmm.
The cat is sniffing around the food. Phil gives the cat a little bit of food of this casserole she made. Everybody's eating it. Everybody's having a good time. They go to get more, and Phil finds the cat dead next to the bowl of food.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, it's been poisoned.
Clearly.
Everybody in the house who was there leaves to go get their stomach pumped. They come back a couple hours later. Nina has decided, as she leaves, her sister picks her up. She's not coming back. She decides, I have to tell him. I have to explain everything. So they turn around and go back. She gets in the house. There's nobody there. And she starts reading this novel that he's writing. As this movie has been going on, he's been embellishing what's been happening to him under the guise of a new book.
Yeah.
And she reads this and she puts two and two together and realizes that he doesn't trust her as much as he says he does.
You know, really, Turnabout's fair game because she doesn't trust him either.
That's true. They come back from the hospital. They're greeted by one of the neighbors who says, yeah, we found your cat dead in our basement. I think it was after a rat and got into some poison. But you seemed like you were having a good time. I didn't want to just show up with a dead cat in my arm, so I just left it in the back porch.
That's where the movie lost me, by the way. When the neighbor's wife decides to just drop the dead cat back in the room.
Yeah.
It's like, no, no. We have seen some ridiculous, awful things. That's the part that just says, I can't do that. I can't go there. That worst scene in the movie. Carry on.
Nina leaves. Phil and his agent put two and two together. They figure out her and her family are big-time circus performers from Romania. They're trying to defect. The Romanian government is trying to get them back. They track her down. They fight the KGB agents. They get arrested. The family goes free. Everything's all good.
Mm-hmm.
Back at Philip's house. He and Nina.
Newly refurbished. They did blow it up like 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, that's true. It's fixed. They're getting ready to go to bed. They're kissing. She pulls out another knife. He gets freaked out. She throws it. It's another beetle.
Mm-hmm.
End of the movie. This is a silly movie. It is the kind of movie that you can just put on and not really pay attention to.
Oh?
But you're going to chuckle.
I did indeed chuckle. I hit a point, probably about 20 minutes in.
Okay.
And I asked myself the question, who is this movie made for? Because it started out as a standard kind of romantic comedy thing, you know? The priest thing was weird.
Yes, it was.
You know, there are bits of that are just like, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
There is a point where they're going to go shopping, and they get into the truck, and they're backing out, and the garage door doesn't shut.
Yes.
And so he goes out, and he's trying to get the garage door shut. This is the late 80s style garage door where it's a solid door that doesn't roll up.
Yeah.
It just lifts up. And so it's come down partially. And he has her push the button, and there's no indication that she ever touched a gear shift or anything else. The truck just accelerates up, hits him, and his face gets smashed against the windshield.
Yeah.
And his butt gets pressed against the door. So he's
pinned.
He's pinned between a door and a truck.
Windshield wipers start going. Yeah. Radio starts blaring because she's getting flustered trying to back the
truck
up.
And that scene looked exactly like the mid-90s, Three Ninjas kickback kind of slapstick.
Yes.
And it's like, at that point, I'm just like, I don't know who this movie's for anymore. I don't know if this is meant to be for kids, and the parents are along for the ride, or if it's for adults and just they didn't know the maturity level of the adults who are watching.
I think it's a Tom Selleck romantic comedy. So I think, listen, hear me out.
I was shrugging because that means nothing to me. I've seen precisely two of them now, and you've shown me both of them.
As somebody who grew up in a house where my mother was, I'm not going to say in love with Tom Selleck,
mm-hmm.
but I think there's a reason my dad never shaved his mustache.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it was written for women, but they threw in the slapstick to keep the men interested.
Mm. See,
adult men in 1989.
Fine. In the realm of mustached, actors, I was always more of a Burt Reynolds fan.
Fair.
He did a lot more of the comedies that I was interested in.
Yes, understandable, yes.
Not that Tom Selleck doesn't have a magnificent mustache, and, I don't want to get on your bad side, Ms. White.
As far as I'm concerned, it is Tom Selleck's mustache is the second best mustache out there next to Kent's.
Well, if we're using modern modern standards here. I mean, clearly.
By the way, Kent Harris, go check out the Geek Cave podcast on one of our other shows. Hi, Darren.
Really great announcer.
Yes. Like I said, it's a silly movie.
This is a silly movie. And it's not really a bad movie. It doesn't overstay its welcome. I was a little worried when we were setting up. I'm like, well, it's an 80s comedy. You know, it's about 90 minutes. And we look it up and Google's like, oh, it's an hour 50.
Like, whoa.
And I'm just like, oh, no, it isn't.
No, it's really not. It's
an hour and a half.
It's an hour and a half. Google lied.
Google's wrong.
Google's wrong.
Google's wrong. I ain't ashamed to say it.
No.
The 90 minutes helps it tremendously. Yes. There are some tropes to it that now are bad because we've seen them so many times.
Yes.
In 1989, maybe they weren't, but like the panicked drive to the hospital, knocking things over and driving badly and everything.
To be fair, she wasn't panicked.
Yes, that's true.
He asked her, where did you learn, do they drive... How do you drive in Romania? This is how we drive in Romania. And, she's very calm the entire time.
She just doesn't know things like yield signs.
Yield, yeah.
Roads, like what the lines in the middle of the road mean, or why there might be curbs.
Yeah.
Or how to read to know where hospitals are.
But to be fair, it wasn't a panicked drive.
No, it was just a massively incompetent drive.
Fair.
So, there are scenes like that that are tropey, and they're kind of cringy now.
Yes.
Honestly, the funniest parts to me were the intentional misinterpretation of the actions going around. When he's spinning all of the, she would do something, and he would turn it around so it was his character in the book.
Yes.
That part was very funny. Or when he was, after he got shot in the butt with the arrow, when he's writing his book about getting, shot in the shoulder. And it hurts, but he still lifts the 400-pound weights, As he's doing that, he leans over to grab his water glass and just kind of screams. Because he just rolled over on a recently stabbed butt.
Yes.
That kind of stuff worked very well.
Oh, yeah.
And holds through. Like I said, the dinner party thing just kind of like, it lost me. To get that many people that panicked that fast.
But they did set up that all of those people were not the smartest and not.
Oh, truly terrible.
Yeah, truly terrible people.
You almost don't feel bad for Tom Selleck's character because he's intentionally hanging out with them.
Yeah.
Granted, his house just blew up. Maybe he has to.
He kind of has to, yeah.
So, but at a cool 90 minutes, it's still a bad movie, but it's an enjoyably bad movie.
And I'm okay with that.
It's an enjoyably bad movie.
You have shown me far worse bad movies that were enjoyable.
Oh, please. And I ain't shown you nothing yet.
Oh, man. So,
but we'll have fun while we're there.
Yeah. So, from me, it's a see it if you're in the mood for something really goofy.
I'm going to say this is a with a group see it.
Okay, yes.
Like, I'm never going to choose to put this in and just watch it some weekend when I'm home alone and, But I could see getting the Geek Cave family together and we're going to put that on and we're going to riff tracks it.
Yes.
Or we're going to, we just want something kind of going on in the background.
That we can occasionally look up
and
go, kind
of, hold on, wait, he's about to get shot in the butt.
There it is.
And the lieutenant on the other end of the line is going to think that he's having sex.
Yeah. Careful with the shaft.
Yes. So, it's heavy-handed. It's certainly got its moments. It's also got its really funny moments.
Yes.
And I'm not sorry that I saw it. It's not a... there have been movies I've seen that I'm just like... How do I tell you nicely that this was bad?
Movies I've shown you?
Yeah, not yet on the podcast, but...
on the podcast, okay.
But there have been ones that we've watched, you know, just outside, and it's just like, it's okay.
That's fair.
Yeah, we're fine. And I've done the same with you. I mean, we watched Orgasmo and then Zombie Strippers, like, back-to-back, and then watched, like, the Attack of the 50-Foot Woman, the Daryl Hannah version.
Yeah.
And it's like three really shit movies in a row.
Now, to be fair, two of those three I did kind of enjoy.
Well, two of those three are funny.
Yes.
I should get you to watch Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
So, I haven't seen it.
Oh. It is truly terrible in the best sense of the term.
Fair enough.
This one's a see it from me if you got good friends that you're willing to laugh at the silly with.
Yes.
So I am full on endorsing that.
Okay.
I don't think it's a pop your own popcorn and sit, you know, sit alone. Or this would be a great, hey, I got work to do, and so I'm going to be like folding laundry and so forth.
Yes.
Perfect movie for that. Perfect movie for that.
So. Also, it makes a great gift for mothers who are...
Who really like William Daniels.
Yes.
We know who you are.
Yes. Mr. Feeney approves.
Of course he does.
Well, so, I think it's your turn.
I will come up with something.
All right.